You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, workplace pregnancies. What's a gal to do? What's a boss to do? We'll sort that out for you. What's an Ant-Man anyway? Hey, we already had one guy who was accidentally killed by a robot. Well, now it's happened. There's an army of robots who are trained to do one thing. Kill. Our friend today is the guy behind Gonzo.fm and other useful household chemicals. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Thanks, Phil. I just thought you should know that Star Wars is real. There is an epic space battle taking place over our heads right now.
It's true. Good. And that's it for Friends.
Oh, that's right. Nice. Probably just go to the news cheer. Story at this point, right?
No, that's okay. But if you do listen to the show on iTunes, thanks a lot for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments and they notice the five-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe. All right, we can get started now. What's going on, Star Wars in space?
Well, yeah, it's happening. Aboard the International Space Station just a little while ago.
Yes.
The International, wasn't there a contest to name it?
Yeah, but they weren't fond of Squiggy.
Was that what we ended up with?
Yeah.
It's not good until there's also a Lenny space station. It would be much better.
Sure.
Which one would you take, the Lenny or Squiggy space station?
I'm full Squiggy.
Golly, Squiggy all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to get into the Soyuz capsule, which is the currently docked only method of transportation
to and from the pod.
Basically, the escape pod, because they were about to run into some space junk. Usually they know more ahead of time, but I guess NASA's like, oh, hey, guys, little thing in the road up ahead. So they had to hang out in the capsule to just in case that it hit the space station. And of course, and this is the thing, how many jillions of dollars have we spent on that thing, right?
A lot. I mean, they're just having a party up there.
Well, apparently, yeah, it's like the space party pad, but it can't withstand it's like if you're driving on the road and you hit, you come up on a road alligator, you know, the tire, you know, that's blown out, you know,
sure.
One of those retreads in the middle, you hit that and hopefully you think your car can probably survive that.
Yeah.
But apparently the space station can't handle a small leftover piece of Russian's
no, there's all
weather
this. I mean, think of a space station. It's covered in exoskeleton, right? All these little pieces on the outside. It's very and don't forget, it's not just floating up there. It's moving at about 20,000 miles per hour, and the space junk is probably moving faster, and it's coming in the opposite direction. So it's like a head-on collision at the speed of sound times 12.
It's pretty amazing how precarious that whole thing is, really, when you think about it. When you put it in that kind of perspective, it's you people are crazy.
And so the astronauts and the cosmonauts, they're in there, they're in their chaise lounges, they're all smoked out, and then all of a sudden the red lights start flashing and they say, "Holy crap, space junk."
Yeah, I don't know if they're sitting back smoking a bowl in the space station or not, but wow, what an incredible high that would be.
Experimentation.
Dude, look out the window, man. Yeah. That's Earth. Wow.
Yeah, look at the global warming. you know, while they're sparking up a fatty, folks in Colorado still haven't quite gotten all the clarity they need about what's legal and what's not legal when it comes to marijuana.
Totally bizarre because Colorado leading the nation in mellowing out. I mean, why do you smoke? You want to, you know, you calm down, right?
Sure.
It's like, what does it do? It mellows you out, man, and also gives you an amazing need for Cheetos in your life.
Sure.
But the State Board of Health in Colorado just voted 6-2 yesterday against adding post-traumatic stress disorder to the list of ailments eligible for medical treatment with medical marijuana.
Yeah.
So you could still, you know, if you're suffering from PTSD, you are free to recreationally use because you can in Colorado. But the argument is that medicinally, it's not on the list of medicinal reasons for using, which is insane.
Yeah.
It was cited as somebody said that, well, there's no sound medical proof that that marijuana would help PTSD, although there's lots of other things that is allowed for medical use, AIDS. Epilepsy, glaucoma, And really, none of those have real solid scientific backing to say that those are medicinal uses for marijuana.
And let's not forget, on the list along the boardwalk at Venice Beach, where they have five or six medicinal marijuana places and an alleged doctor inside who will write you a prescription, one of them, and I saw this, I witnessed it, had a list of ailments that, and also a pamphlet with the same list on it that would get you a prescription. And one of the ailments was hangnail.
Well, damn. Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, by the way, now that we're done harshing your buzz, if you still do have the munchies, for the past couple of years, Lay's has been holding a contest. You know the potato chips people, Lay's?
The Lay's, they are out of control with the new flavors. I can't keep up.
Yeah, they send weird ideas for potato chip flavors up the flagpole, and the ones that fly, they keep them.
Did you try the wasabi ones? Those things wow. Yeah, and they get you hooked on them, and then they go away.
Right, but if people buy them in hordes, then they keep them. So they just announced four new flavors that they'll be making this year, and they're actually pretty tame in comparison to wasabi, in my opinion. This year's picks are Southern Biscuits and Gravy potato chips. Greek Town Gyro, or as the lady behind the counter says, Gyro.
Well, you want a gyro? Hey, gyro?
And while you're in New York, they have New York Reuben flavor. Oh. And then finally, a flavor that nobody is familiar with, trust me, truffle fries. And not the chocolate truffles, but this is the kind that's made
the
out
fancy,
of
fancy, like truffle oil.
That weird mushroom that pops out of your yard and you think it's dog crap and you mow over it and the guy runs up and says, wait a minute, that was worth $3,000.
That one might be pretty good. There's a bunch of places that have, like they'll serve you tater tots in truffle oil, which are fairly amazing. That one makes sense, but it's the biscuits and gravy, and they did last time around, didn't they do like a chicken and waffles
flavor? Here's the list. Yeah, chicken and waffles. They
that
had
didn't seem
cheesy
right.
Garlic bread.
Okay.
They had sriracha, which I guess is not bad because you might sprinkle some sriracha on your potato chips.
Yeah, that one.
Thought of it.
We'll accept that. We'll take that one.
Bacon mac and cheese.
Okay,
sure. The wasabi ginger is the one you were recalling.
Amazing. Mind will change your world, Phil.
Mango salsa. Now, I'm not sure I want my chips to taste like mango salsa. I think I'd rather dip my chips in some actual mango salsa.
Right. Well, I guess that's good if you're driving, because it's usually not good to have, you know, dip while you're driving.
And cappuccino.
See, wrong. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
That violates the chip code, right?
There's a chip code?
Shouldn't there be?
Why not?
I mean, because to prevent this, the Dr. Mengele combination of genetic messing with potato chips?
Yeah.
Sometimes they've just gone too far, Phil.
Yes. You might as well just eat a bug.
Have you ever, by the way?
Not on purpose.
Right. Well, they say, right, over your lifetime, you accidentally ingest a certain number of bugs, you know, sleeping with your mouth open and a spider falls off the ceiling
That's not an urban myth, huh?
I think that's for real.
No.
But now there's right now in Germany, they're moving to classify flower worms, crickets, and migratory grasshoppers as food. I guess in the delicacy category, from what I'm understanding from this article.
Yeah.
But they say that why not? They're full of protein. We've heard this before. They're full of protein.
And
have you ever, like sometimes at the little quickie mart, at the checkout with all the weird stuff they have there, you can buy like a little bag of crickets.
No, I've never seen that.
Never tried that?
No.
Yeah, they're not very good.
No, you've tried them.
I have tried them.
Yes.
The I don't know if there's a chipotle flavor. I think maybe that those are pretty
good. That makes sense. If you season it, just about everything you eat has some sort of seasoning on it, even if it's at the very least a little salt or some butter, right?
Yeah. So I think there's like chipotle. I think there's like a Cajun. You know, it's got the Cajun spice on it. So basically, if you're they taste like dirt.
No.
So you put some spice on it. It's like this is a good crunchy dirt bug thing.
Yeah, right. Here's, I think, maybe the one thing we shouldn't be concerned about, but I'm curious to know if the migratory grasshoppers have ever gone out on a labor march.
I'm not sure.
No?
I think the migratory grasshoppers are playing at the Whiskey tonight.
Are they? Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, kind of an indie band.
Yeah. All right. Now, you may have found the, and this is coming up next. Don't get your panties in a bunch here, Greg. I mean, hold on a second. Don't do the story yet.
Okay.
But you may have found the singular, most sickest Did we say that?
I know.
The most sickest dude on the planet.
I think so.
Yeah. Forgive me for using bad English right there, but it's appropriate in this case.
You use words good, Phil.
Mostly because of where he's from. But that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's coming, the robot apocalypse. In South Korea, an arms manufacturer has developed a machine gun that'll fire 50 caliber bullets close to 4 kilometers. What is that, about 3 1/4 miles, something like that?
I don't know. I'm an American. I don't.
Yeah, I'm American. But anyway, here's the thing. No human mediation is required. This machine gun,
it decides what's to shoot on it on its own?
Absolutely. And now, it let's say you've got your own your palatial compound out there in Vegas land where you are, right, Greg?
And, yes.
You've got your compound, you've got acreage and all that. And inside the walls of your compound, or maybe trained on the sprawling driveway from the outskirts of the city all the way up to your compound, these robot machine guns are watching carefully. Now, if something comes within the you've seen this red square in the video games, right?
Sure.
Whatever's inside the red square, that's something that, and it starts blinking, you could shoot it and you'll probably hit it.
Okay.
The red square detects that something, a vehicle, now this is powerful enough to stop a truck, by the way. A vehicle has come into the zone in which it's not allowed. And then in a loud, rapid, scary voice, the robot machine gun will say, stop and turn around or I will shoot.
Okay.
And there's a demonstration of this thing, and it's going to be on the show fun page here in moments. The web munchkins have it. But it will shoot and destroy the truck or the car, whatever it is, that has ventured into the area where the machine gun is programmed to
protect. It should say, crush, kill, destroy.
Exactly.
Crush, kill, destroy. Remember, what was that movie? Remember that? That was in the 70s sometime. It was the robots that were, that's all they did. They just walked around and went crush, kill, destroy. And
yeah,
basically.
That was high tech, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it decides?
It decides. It decides what to shoot and when.
But just if it's in the zone, it says.
Now you can intervene, but what if you're not there manning the intervene station 24/7?
Sure, but it's not. There's no intelligence there. It's not sentient. It's not deciding if this is a cute kitty.
No, but there's a guideline, and if a cute kitty walks into the thing and it says, "Sorry, you're here. Turn around and leave, or I'll shoot," and then the kitty's dead.
Right.
And or the car or the child who's chasing a ball, or whoever it is. So what could go wrong?
No, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
So, this is why I love the human race, because we have this innate ability to produce stuff that's just horrible.
Yeah. So I could see the dude, the drug lord who just escaped from jail, El Chapo. What's his name?
Yeah. El Guapo.
El Guapo. Yeah.
You got me a sweater.
Yeah. He's probably going to purchase a handful of those.
I can see there's a huge demand for this. Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted a laser death ray for my palatial Vegas estate.
Yes.
Which happens to be next to the tennis court around the corner from the community center area. And I have crackhead neighbor that.
How do you achieve the soundproofing there with all that activity going on?
I can't complain. My neighbors are mad at me. So.
Oh.
It was a long night last night.
Oh, I see. Success?
It was a successful evening. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking, Phil.
Oh,
I appreciate
good.
That.
Good. Yeah. Was there anybody there dressed like an alligator?
No, but hold on. Let me put that on my list of things to do. Yeah, no. Speaking of the human race being doomed, we hear this all the time. Somebody will say, oh, God, that's it. We're done for. We're just, humans are awful.
Yeah.
But I have proof, and it, not surprisingly, comes from Florida.
Okay.
From Everglades City, Florida, let's meet one Mr. Rupert Darwin. And a god.
What an unfortunate name.
Being his name. 59 years old. Residents say he sticks to himself, and they describe him as odd.
Yeah.
Latest reports indicate, and I hope this is fake, I hope this comes out as not being real, because allegedly he kept a 12-foot alligator tied and blindfolded for the last month, sexually assaulting the reptile multiple times a day. Apparently, he was upset. I guess this alligator tried to kill him, and he was a little upset. In fact, the witness that caught him having relations with the alligator in his backyard was saying to the alligator while in the act, quote, next time you try to kill a man, you best get the job done. Now you're my bitch forever. Actually quoted in the news article.
Yeah.
He kept him like as the gimp. He was like the gimp alligator.
Yeah,
the alligator was tied up, had a bag over its head. Don't know if it had a ball gag or not.
But the guy's sick and twisted, isn't he?
Well, the witness told police it was the damn strangest thing I ever seen, which I think is an accurate assessment. It further goes on to explain that he had planned to chop the alligator's tail off, pull her teeth as part of his revenge scheme.
Yeah.
And had even considered performing noise torture on the reptile.
Noise torture?
Noise torture by playing what Darwin described as N-word music over and over.
This guy didn't get out of the swamp much, did he?
I don't think he kept to himself. It says right here, Phil, he kept to himself.
Yeah.
And I wish he had continued to do so.
Yeah, all right.
Florida, everybody.
Yes, there you go, Florida. Thank you very much. Now, let me ask you a philosophical question.
Because we cover a lot of philosophy on this show.
What is what's deeper south, Florida or Myrtle Beach, South Carolina?
Wow. Well, that's like, what do they call it? The Redneck Riviera over there, right?
Right,
isn't,
right.
Isn't that where that is?
Now,
yeah.
Geographically, it's Myrtle Beach is north of Florida, of course. But philosophically, it's perhaps more south.
Okay. Well, yeah. But Florida's like America's wiener.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just kind of dangling down there.
It is, yeah.
So,
well, it's I'm not sure which Bible verse said we should stuff ourselves with fried calamari, shrimp scampi, and buckets of tartar sauce, but it's got to be in there somewhere. 51-year-old April Lee Yates went to a seafood buffet restaurant in Myrtle Beach. Sunday night, she spent 4 hours in there. Imagine the kind of damage you could do.
Four hours at a seafood buffet,
yeah.
Sure, yeah.
The restaurant finally kicked her out. Not because she was trying to single-handedly devour their profits for the year, but because she caused a disturbance with some other people who were eating there. But when they handed her the bill, she said she didn't have any money on her and that Jesus would take care of it.
Jesus is picking up the tab?
Yeah, he was in the back washing dishes, as a matter of fact. No, that's not right.
But the Jew's not going to pick up the tab. Let's be serious.
When Jesus didn't show up to pay the tab, as you suspected, Gonzo, April was arrested for defrauding the restaurant.
Well, why wouldn't Jesus be? Well, maybe that's why it was a seafood buffet, right? He's just, there's this fishes falling out the sky.
Yes, exactly.
Right, that's what was happening. So in a way, he did kind of pick up the tab.
Slightly.
Right?
Slightly.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I haven't been in the Bible lately, so I need to stay in a motel more often. And
you haven't been hitting it, huh?
Checking in the dresser drawer there for, see what the Gideons left for me this time. The Bible's in the dresser drawer, and then under the mattress, there's usually porn.
Yeah, no.
Hotel porn. It's kind of like a hobo tradition.
It is.
Yeah, you leave porn under the mattress.
It's a little like the guys that leave the mess in the toilet and don't flush, as though they want you to see their majesty, their right. creation, their
art, artistry, exactly.
Their artwork. Yeah.
I call the loo it's my studio. Create.
Hey, by the way, the first man to ever go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. They've been doing it. They've been doing this forever, right?
They don't do it lately, though. They don't do it anymore.
No, because it's against the law. Well, I think it always has been, but now they can catch you as opposed to before. Run!
Yeah, but then barrel technology has probably improved immensely since back in the day. So you could probably
Kevlar and space age polymers, sure.
Yeah, you could be in there with a GoPro, right?
Yeah.
And live stream it as all right. Who wants to do this? Because this would be amazing.
I'm in, maybe. But the first guy to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and survive, he died 15 years later when he slipped on an orange peel and got an infection.
No.
It's true.
That's not true.
It is
that
true.
That can't be true.
It is true.
The only thing that would make that even a little bit better would if it was a banana peel.
Yeah.
Banana peel would have. In fact, we should just revise that and say banana peel.
Yeah, just add the sound effects while you're at it. By the way, Peter Cetera, you know who that is. He's the guy from Chicago, the band. He wrote the song Glory of Love for Rocky IV, but the movie studio decided not to use it. So it became the theme song for The Karate Kid Part 2. And it hit number one on the Billboard charts and got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, I think that might have been a better fit for... That might have been a good decision on the part of the Rocky producers.
Maybe. But, are the words wax on, wax off in that song?
Wax on, wax off.
Hey, get ready to spray the yard.
Excuse me?
And the movie theater. You're about to be invaded by Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yes.
And our favorite movie exterminator, Manny the Movie Guy, joins us. Do you know who Ant-Man is? I don't have a clue.
You don't know about Ant-Man?
I don't know about Ant-Man.
I'm not a big comic book guy, but I know about Ant-Man.
All right, we'll find out about Ant-Man next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the springiest Palm Springs has to offer, KMIR-TV movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. I have spring in my step.
Every day of the week.
That's right.
You always bring a smile to our face, Manny, and it's lovely to have you on the program again. Gonzo Gregg is with us today, and
Hey, Manny.
He apparently is a huge Ant-Man fan, and I have no clue who Ant-Man is.
Nobody does, apparently.
Well, if you know who Ant-Man is, you cross over into sort of a comic book royalty zone. You know, it's like nerd cred if you
like
know
what?
About
Ant-Man. Ant-Man and Howard the Duck, are those the two that comics?
Kinda,
yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Hey, Howard the Duck had a rejuvenation, if you may, from last year's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
That's right, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
No, Ant-Man, it's being called the next evolution of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're calling it the Phase 2. And based on the movie, Ant-Man is off to a good start.
Oh.
Like Iron Man before it, Marvel goes back to its roots of science and technology for Ant-Man. And like Iron Man, Ant-Man is not one of the most popular characters in the Marvel library, but be prepared to be entertained.
Ooh.
One of the big reasons to watch the movie is Paul Rudd. He embodies the aw shucks, reckless charisma of other actors turned superheroes like Robert Downey Jr. Rudd, who also co-wrote the script, is our Ant-Man, but before he embraces his inner superhero, he's a con man named Scott Lang. It's kind of cool to see Michael Douglas making his first superhero movie. He stars as Dr. Hank Pym, the inventor of Pym particles that can shrink the wearer of a special protective suit down to the size of, what else? An ant.
Hey!
But Pym, here's the basic premise. Pym hires Scott to keep his technology from falling into the wrong hands and eventually becomes his mentor. I also enjoyed Evangeline Lilly from Lost. Evangeline Lilly's character of Hope. She's Pym's daughter and will materialize in future Marvel movies.
Wow. Now, does T.I. play an exterminator?
Yes, it does.
He does?
No.
Oh.
At its simplest form, the movie's main crux is idealists are heroes and greedy industrialists are evil. We've seen this so many times before in so many different forms in so many Marvel movies. But Ant-Man is self-aware and uses humor and relatability of its heroes, so you'll come along for the ride. Now, truth be told, though, I was kind of nervous and worried that this movie would be bad because its original director, I love him, Edgar Wright, the guy who gave us the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, at World's End. You know, he left due to creative differences.
So oh, no.
Surprise that Peyton Reed, the guy who gave us Bring It On and the cinematic lackluster The Breakup, was able to come up with an entertaining yarn. This movie is not as big as in scope as Marvel's The Avengers, but this little hero that could may leave a big dent in your fanboy heart. Wait for the closing credits for two, not one, but two big surprises.
Oh, I never leave early. I'm that guy that waits till the very end, and the people who work there, they're already picking up popcorn and they have drunk soda pop cans and all that sort of thing.
Well, that's kind of an L.A. thing, though, because everybody in L.A. waits to see their friend who is key that's grip on the, on this
yeah.
scene.
Very good. That is very L.A.-ish.
Yeah.
Of you, Mr. Phil.
Yeah, right. I'm so L.A.
You are so L.A., Phil.
All right, so, there's a train wreck of a movie out, and it just happens to be called Trainwreck. Is Judd Apatow... continues to put out these raunchy movies and people continue to rush to them. And is it worth it this time around?
You know, honestly, like Ant-Man, Paul Rudd and Ant-Man, yeah. Trainwreck is all about Amy Schumer. She's been in the news lately, whether it's about her subversive feminism or her supposed blind spot on race. She's being talked about, a far cry from a little-known comedian who placed fourth on the fifth season of NBC's Last Comic Standing. And now... get ready for Amy Schumer, the movie star, because her latest film, Trainwreck, which she wrote, by the way, mm-hmm. is freaking fantastic.
Oh, yay, freaking awesome. Fantastic, huh?
Yes.
Wow, that's Manny.
That's the most that I could be raunchy.
Yes. Yeah, that would be that script would be altered for Apatow if you know. But anyway, freaking fantastic. That's about as over the top as you've gone on anything so far.
I enjoyed it. Amy plays Amy. Since she was a little girl, her dad, played by Colin Quinn, has ingrained in her that monogamy is not realistic, which should make a lot of men happy, right?
Sure.
Allegedly, this movie is an autobiography, but some of the narrative mechanisms of the film are so Hollywood, but who cares? In the end, this is Schumer's show, and she delivers. Big credit goes to Judd Apatow, making his best film since Knocked Up. This is streamlined and allows Schumer to shine. Bill Hader, though, is also fantastic as Aaron Connors, a successful sports doctor, and the subject of Amy's new article she's writing for a men's magazine called S'Nuff. And here comes the Hollywood Snuff. Part. The two fall in love. Will our bad girl turn good? The movie is also populated with a lot of good supporting actors. There's a spray-tanned Tilda Swinton in full-on comedic mode as Amy's boss. There's a who-would-have-thought-he's-funny John Cena. He's Amy's regular partner with repressed sexuality. And my favorite, LeBron James as Hader's BFF.
No kidding!
Yeah, and he's fantastic. Who knew he has great comedic timing?
Yeah, wow.
But this is a romantic comedy, of course, so expect to get your buttons pushed every now and then. But
does Amy's Uncle Chuck Schumer, the senator, does he make a cameo in the movie?
Not quite.
No?
Thankfully,
no.
But be thankful that it's Schumer and Apatow who are doing the button pushing for you.
You see all the actors on the ESPYs last night, Manny?
I'm sorry, which one now?
On the ESPYs. I know it's not a movie award show, the sports award show last night.
Oh, you mean the Caitlyn Jenner show?
Well, yes. Yeah, sure.
No, I don't watch ESPY.
No, I know. Nobody does. I mean, it was just, but I happened, they had a reason to tune in. But I was amazed and shocked, frankly, that about a third of the people in the audience and about 90% of the people on the stage, presenters, were all Hollywood types and not athletes.
Yeah, well, it's an award show. Hollywood loves award shows.
Yeah, and who does them better than actors, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Manny, you deserve an award if you haven't gotten one today yet.
Oh, thank you.
What's the matter with you? You should have one every day of the week, Manny. Go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com and please watch the interviews he does. There are videos, and you will be better for it. And Manny, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There he goes, Manny the Movie Guy.
All right.
See? Springing away back to his his movie lair in Palm Springs.
I enjoy Manny immensely. I think he has a great take on most of the films he talks about, too.
And is generally, he's correct. A lot of movie reviewers are wrong about
movies. Right. He hasn't steered me wrong yet, although I rarely go to the movies. And when I do, I go to the drive-in and get wasted. So it really doesn't matter.
Hey, ladies. Try it. You go ahead.
What?
Ladies.
Hey, ladies.
Thank you.
Are we doing Jerry Lewis? Where are we going with this?
I just wanted to see if that triggered anything in you. Ladies, are you worried about what will happen to you or to your job, rather, if you get pregnant? Employers, are you worried what will happen if one of your female employees gets pregnant? We'll learn about the new laws that bring a little more clarity and conformity to this and what else needs to be done to make things a little smoother. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends at Added.com. You're at our website, and I do encourage you to visit the show fun page today for reasons that will become clear once you arrive there. How's that for a tease? Gonzo Greg Spillane is with us today. I'm Phil Hewlett. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Women have experienced discrimination in the workplace for all sorts of reasons. Since the dawn of women in the workplace. Just like that, that sort of thing. Perhaps the biggest cause for concern, however, and one of the toughest things to work through is pregnancy in the workplace. I say it's a tough thing to work through because it's a difficult challenge for an employer as well, especially a smaller employer. Things are changing, however. Let's sort through this. Joining us now is a labor and employment attorney with the law firm Gardier Wynn Sewell, LLP in Dallas, Carrie Hoffman. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, you typically represent employers in these matters, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So if you could, then give us a little history lesson, at least a recent history, maybe, I don't know, past 30 years or so. What typically happens when a female employee becomes pregnant?
Well, that's a big question. I think it depends on the kind of job, but when you're talking about employees in manufacturing jobs and more blue collar, the issue of accommodation of pregnancy in the workplace has always been one that's difficult for both employers and employees to contend with.
Right. And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would say I don't think most employers have a problem with time off to accommodate pregnancy, meaning not saying they all don't, but most don't have a problem providing a leave of absence as an accommodation for a temporary disability, but providing accommodations and changes to the work requirements is more difficult.
And is that the growing trend in terms of what states or other municipalities are requiring employers to provide?
So the U.S. Supreme Court this year came down with a decision that essentially said that if you're having a set of work rules that allows for accommodation for people who are not pregnant, regardless of the reason, then you have to provide similar type accommodations for women who are pregnant if they need it.
Okay. And give us an example of these sorts of accommodations.
Right. Yeah. So if you go out and I got horrible tennis elbow, I need a month off. I mean, so does that then apply to a pregnant woman?
It would, but the type of accommodations that came up in the Supreme Court context are really more around lifting restrictions, and that's really, frankly, where the rubber meets the road with respect to these kind of accommodations. typically arise for employers who have light duty work rules for people who've been injured on the job. So I have an employee, he's injured on the job, he comes back light duty. I have an incentive under most workers' comp schemes to get him back to work, even if all he's doing is essentially walking around with a feather duster. But if I provide him that kind of light duty, then I have to talk about providing similar light duty accommodations to a pregnant female. And again, for the most part, the kinds of employers that are affected are retail, hospitality, manufacturing, where lifting is involved. Lifting restrictions are a big issue for a pregnant.
Well, I think I'd be it would be easier for me to swallow as an employer to provide these sorts of light duty considerations for a pregnant woman as opposed to the guy with the tennis elbow. And if you've got a whole bunch of people suddenly claiming, hey, well, I need the light duty, then all of a sudden you have a growing percentage of your workforce that is more or less useless.
Right. And I think most employers don't provide that accommodation for the guy who has tennis elbow. What they are providing it to is a person who was injured on the job, because, again, most workers' comp schemes provide them a financial incentive to get people back to work, even if it is light duty, because the statistics show that the longer they're out on workers' comp, the less likely they are to come back to work.
We all know the guy or the gal at the workplace who has figured out how to game the system.
Exactly.
Has this opened the door for that individual?
This has not opened the door for the gaming of the system. This is really essentially saying if you're going to let the guy game the system with light duty who got injured on the job, then you have to provide a similar accommodation to a woman who's pregnant.
Okay. Now, did this come? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. In the past, employers have not done that.
Does this come out of Young versus UPS, or is that something completely different? Okay.
Yes.
Now, in your opinion, in the ruling that came down on Young versus UPS, what was lacking on that as far as the workplace is concerned today?
I mean, I think it's a function of saying even though pregnant women don't get super status, if you accommodate, if you provide any kind of light duty accommodation to anyone who isn't pregnant, then you have to consider that same light duty accommodation for a pregnant employee. And in the past, as employers, that hasn't necessarily been our mindset.
Mm-hmm. How, well, doesn't America in general just have a really, or American workplaces in general, just have a really crappy approach to how they treat people who are pregnant and family leave and all that? It kind of plays into the same thing, doesn't it?
I think a lot, it does play into that. I think a lot of this issue is the concern, big picture, of if I give and change light duty requirements and lifting restrictions for pregnant employee A, now when this guy has tennis elbow, am I going to have an ADA accommodation for him?
Right. And I'm sorry to bring up tennis elbow. I don't think that's even a thing anymore. But anyway.
Yeah. But,
but it's the slippery slope. So now I'm providing it to the light duty person. Now I'm providing it to a pregnant employee. Now I lose my argument under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Was that really an essential function if I can provide all these accommodations for all these other employees?
Yeah. And right. So there will be a percentage of employees who perhaps they do get hurt and feel that they have a certain right to a certain treatment. And perhaps it'll be pointed out to them by an attorney who perhaps looks for these opportunities. How prepared are employers for this, and do most these days have the process, as they understand it, spelled out in their employee manuals, or are they about to get blindsided?
For my clients, what I've told them is to start looking at pregnancy accommodation requests just like we do under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we look at what the essential functions of the job are. We evaluate whether that's a reasonable accommodation under the facts and circumstances. Have we provided it to other employees and in what circumstance? And make a business decision based on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that a wholesale review of your employee handbook is going to make any difference. I think you can walk it through your Americans with Disabilities Act kind of policy and make that accommodation in that fashion.
What's the standard leave after the baby is born or leading up to and after?
Federal law is 12 weeks of unpaid leave with job protected status.
Okay, so in other words, gone are the days that if you do get pregnant and have a baby, that you will lose your job.
Correct, provided your employer is covered by the Family and Medical Leave Act. You have to have 50 employees to be covered by the act.
Oh, so if you're at a smaller place, 15 or 20 employees, then the chances are that you might lose your job.
You could. You know, in my experience, even my smaller clients will provide some amount of leave to a woman who's been pregnant. Most people don't expect someone to have a baby and be back in the office 3 days later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the smaller
stop. Come on, move.
The requirement is.
What would you like to see happen in a perfect world?
I mean, I think the accommodation of pregnant women is a smart business decision. I think, you know, again, if you want to keep your workforce motivated and working, providing these kinds of accommodations is a good idea. Big picture, I think it just has to fit in the framework of all of the other things that are befalling employers under all the other employment rights acts, mm-hmm. and making sure it all fits wholesale.
But again, mandated paid leave is not going to happen, is it?
I think it will depend on the November 2016 elections. I think that's certainly a possibility in the future. Mm-hmm. I know there have been bills pending in Congress for paid sick leave. There are numerous municipalities in a handful of states that provide a little bit of paid sick leave that can be used. California does have some form of state disability leave that can be used with pregnancy. So there are some places where that exists. But I think we're probably a few more years down the road before we're going to have paid FMLA leave.
Gotcha. Carrie Hoffman, wonderful to speak with you and interesting for sure. You're with the law firm Gardier Wynn Sewell LLP in Dallas. Labor and employment attorney. Thank you very much for enlightening us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. There she is. What do you think, Gonzo? You don't plan on getting pregnant at work or getting tennis elbow anytime, do you?
Like I said, I don't. Is tennis elbow even a thing anymore? I don't know. I don't play tennis.
Yeah, I think people get video game elbow now.
Yes, I have Nintendo thumb. I need some paid time off, please.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, man. But anyway, at least things have gotten a little smoother about this process.
It's getting slightly better. But yeah, like I said, just America just seems to have a really crappy attitude about how we treat women when they get pregnant. And it's a tough decision, especially for a small business. I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have three employees, you don't have anybody to cover when she's out. So
sure.
It's a conundrum. But
a conundrum.
But we seem to be moving forward, which seems to be happening fairly regularly in America, and I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Oh, yay me.
It's nice to know what motivates you.
I have no idea. I'm glad you do, Phil.
Hey, do you know who Edward Binney is?
No idea. No.
He's the guy who created Crayola crayons.
Oh, okay. So I don't owe him money. Okay. He created crayons.
Yeah. And look, all those wonderful colors. And they're the primary colors and then all the peripheral colors and then all the made-up colors, right?
Sure.
The ones with the fancy names. And sometimes they have naming contests. But Crayola is all about just a rainbow full of colors, right?
Right. Yeah, sure. What's the mega box? Is it 64?
Yeah, 64. That's right. 64
is the biggest one?
Yeah. Edward Binney, the guy who created Crayola crayons, was secretly, he didn't let on, but he was secretly colorblind.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
True.
Well, that explains burnt umber. Right there.
What is an umber anyway?
I don't know, but it's burnt.
Yeah, yeah. She was, umber. Wasn't she in my 12th grade English class?
Check your yearbook. I think she's in there.
That was her. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There's so much more to come, including, was there cleavage last night on the ESPYs? Oh, sure, plenty of it. But what about Caitlyn Jenner? Did I win the bet?
Let's find out.
Apparently it's up for discussion. Plus, now you can buy a jewel to cover your cat's rectum. Those stories and more.
You don't want to miss that.
In the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, how far will a guy ride his Harley to raise money for not one, but five causes? You'll hear from this amazing dude. And speaking of dudes, Jeremy Antecuni, he's our tech guy. He'll reveal which airline is in love with hackers right now.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Gonzo Greg Spillane is the voice you're hearing. He's here with us today. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening.
I always wonder about the others, Phil.
Yeah.
The others.
Yeah, we've had our share of others on this
the
program.
The others.
Yeah.
They look from,
like the movie.
Like some sort of Doctor Who thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The others are joining us today.
Oh, yeah. All right, so on the ESPYs last night, Greg, two days ago on our previous episode, you were talking about the prop bets that were out there, and one of the more interesting ones was, will Caitlyn Jenner show cleavage when accepting the Arthur Ashe Courage Award?
Did you see it, by the way? I didn't manage to. I haven't watched it.
I watched, and they kept putting it off till the end, and the show wasn't particularly all that good, in my opinion. There were some high points, but mostly low points. Just a poorly produced show.
Oh, that's me, like Manny, I don't watch ESPN, I wouldn't have seen it anyway.
Yes, but it was just the same. It was they put the Arthur Ashe Award till the very end because they knew that's why all the people who don't typically watch the ESPYs were watching the ESPYs last night.
Right. They might have had a terrific upswing.
And there's a reason why all those people don't watch the ESPYs, and they figured that out. I just couldn't hang. I fell asleep and ultimately went upstairs and went to bed. But I watched the highlights this morning, and I did see video and photos of Caitlyn Jenner in her tasteful attire. I thought that's the word I would use for it. So what is the verdict? I would say that no, that was not cleavage. There was an amount of plunge, but it was a conservative plunge.
It was very quite tasteful, I think. And I think, Phil, you had you placed that bet, I think you would have won it.
Because the odds were against me, according to what you were saying.
Yeah, the bookmakers were saying that the girls were going to be out. But
so all the people that spent $5 to make $1.20. Lost severely, and this is what you're saying. And if I were to put down $1 to make $5, I would have been in the money.
I think you would have been. Yeah, I think you would have cleaned up on this one. It seems like. But
yeah.
Apart from the betting, from what I understand, and again not having seen it, but just been reading about it a little bit, a very moving speech and so forth, and talking about trans youth and them getting bullied and how we should be more sensitive. And it again. I'm excited that we, in some regards, apart from Donald Trump, are moving forward in America to be more accepting in what I believe what Caitlin said last night of just accepting people for who they are.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. Around the world, there's been this sort of acceptance for a long time in a lot of countries. But a lot of countries there have been, mostly in, I'd say, in Southeast Asia, places like that, and in the Pacific Islands. Perhaps in pockets of Paris, but just the same out here, not so much. But it's like you said, it is changing and rapidly. So, and events like this, and what was characterized last night as perhaps one of the most moving moments on television in history, was the Caitlyn Jenner speech. And so, good for America, and good for Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, it's just in America we speak of freedom. And all this, and it's sad that we've lagged behind a lot of Europe in acceptance of LGBT awareness. But it's I'm glad that we're finally moving forward.
Well, because we have these pockets of neighborhoods
we have Florida. Is what you're saying?
Florida.
We have Florida.
We have counties, for instance.
We have Texas. Texas is also a problem, and. Don't mess with Texas, because if you want to hate on the LGBT community, that's where you want to be right now.
Yeah.
We have a brand new hate spewing group out of Dallas on Tuesday launching a new coalition. They're calling a grassroots movement called Real Marriage. One man, one woman for life.
Wow.
Sounds,
wonderful. Yeah.
They say they're going to target businesses and politicians who don't stand up against LGBT rights. They're very upset about the the Supreme Court decision to allow gay marriage in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have a very firm grasp on what this means to our country and how it, we're doomed because of it.
Yep.
The quote from one of the guys, and I wish I had the sound from this. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I'll just quote from the article here. Quote, if we redefine marriage, the homosexual political movement will force churches, schools, families, businesses, and individuals to accept, to affirm, and even celebrate those who participate in anal sex or anal sodomy, said Dr. Stephen Hotz.
Hey, how's he spell it?
H-O-T-Z-E. He's president of the Conservative Republicans of Texas, by the way.
He is.
And he goes on to say, it'll be mandated to be taught to the children in the schools at an early age, starting in kindergarten. They'll be encouraged by their teachers to participate in anal sex.
Well, that's a little twist, I think.
Clearly, Phil, that's what's going to happen. We all know this, and we should just freak out immediately. They say that their group is going to go after national retail outlets that any that support LGBT equality, although he kind of failed to decline to say which ones. And there doesn't seem to be anything to this organization apart from a website.
You know, what we learned in kindergarten, and it continued on until about the third grade, and until I think we got some sense knocked into us, is that we guys, when we least expected it, would get smacked in the nuts by one of our buddies.
See?
Yeah.
I remember nap time.
Yeah.
And maybe cookies.
And the whole teacher, I declare. I see someone's
right.
Underwear.
Yeah. So I don't really.
But these days, that's fashionable to wear your pants, below your butt cheeks and have your underwear sticking out.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So there's the end of the world.
You know,
brought to you by Texas, everybody.
You know who else is angry right now? It's Neil Young. What's he upset about?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about Neil Young?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, he has decided to pull all of his music off of the streaming sites.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pandora or even the new Apple, streaming thing that they have now.
Yeah, what's his deal with that?
Well, he says that the quality is so bad. I'm trying to find the story right now, and I think I've misplaced it. But he said the quality is the worst in history of broadcasting.
No.
So he doesn't want his music on there because it sounds so bad.
Yeah.
And my first reaction was, Neil, we can put you back on AM if you want.
Right.
You know, if you want to be on the Mighty 690 again, we can talk about poor audio quality. You know?
Yeah, bring back Wolfman Jack.
The problem with audio quality when it comes to Neil Young is your voice,
right.
First of all. That's really... you can sure play guitar all you want. Just shut up.
Yeah,
play with your trains.
Yeah.
And don't sing. Just don't write the words.
Remember the high fidelity and quality of the plugged in version of Hey Hey My My.
Right. Yes.
There was more fuzz in that song.
If there's anything that needs to be reproduced more in high fidelity, it would be Neil Young's voice.
Yeah.
So that we could all have our heads explode like the aliens in Mars Attacks.
And more proof that the music has ended. The music has died. Perhaps rock and roll is dead. What does Sinead O'Connor have to say about the most recent musician to grace the cover of Rolling Stone?
Well, our go-to in terms of whether music is alive or not usually is Sinead O'Connor.
Right.
I think. But she's very upset that Kim Kardashian is on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Because, as we know from the song that taught us in the 70s, on the cover of the Rolling Stone, that was something to
You've not made it. You've not made it till you made the cover of Rolling Stone.
The Rolling Stone, right. Mm-hmm. So on the cover of Rolling Stone this time around is Kim Kardashian.
And a couple of her friends.
The girls are there, and if you're able to look up, she appears to have joined...
the Navy?
The Navy, perhaps. Maybe she has a new yacht. She's got a little jaunty sailor cap on. And
her jaunty sailor top is falling down.
It seems to be going down like the Titanic.
Yeah.
Sinead said that music has officially died and that Bob Dylan, this is in her Twitter, Bob Dylan must be effing horrified and went on to call Mrs. West see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And was very upset that that a magazine that has not been about music for some time is featuring Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
And then Sinead O'Connor held up a black and white photo of Kim Kardashian's
Kardashian
butt and ripped it in half.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I agree with her, but. But seriously, Rolling Stone, like I said, hasn't been about music for a while.
No, there was a naked Jennifer Aniston on the cover of Rolling Stone. You might
recall some
years
ago. Sure, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a pop culture digest. They still do publish, though, halfway decent political insight in Rolling Stone. If you can get past the whore of the universe, Kim Kardashian, on the cover. Although I don't know what's in that edition.
Although you know, if we were fair and we just stepped off of a boat and never knew who Kim Kardashian was, we'd say that's a lovely photo.
Well,
but we have such a backstory that our perception is tainted somehow.
Well, sure, but yeah, I mean, again, America moving forward in many ways,
yes,
and not so much in others as you know, porn stars become. Yeah. Pop culture icons.
So let's talk about how wonderful America is. You're about to hear from a man who is riding his Harley a long way for a long time in a big loop around America. Why is he doing it? Well, aside from being a little crazy, you will be impressed with the real answer to that question, and you'll hear from this amazing guy next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. By the way, there's a photo of Kim and her girls on the show fun page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
As there should be, really. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, America.
If you want to confirm what we were talking about.
America.
Joining us now is a man who left his home June 9th, riding his Harley-Davidson across the USA, raising money for not one, not two, but five charities. Chuck Fury, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot for having me.
It's a pleasure. So where did you start your ride?
In Mansfield, Massachusetts, which is about 5 miles from Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play.
Ah, gotcha. So you're a Patriots fan, no doubt.
We are. In fact, the main charity, which I volunteered for the last number of years, is the Joe Andruzzi Foundation. And Joe used to play for the Patriots and was traded to the Browns, and while he was released, when Romeo Crennel was released, he developed Burkitt's lymphoma and consequently had an early retirement from the NFL. But through that came his wife's interest in finding out how to help cancer patients, you know, where were the holes in the foundations and charities. And so their charity actually is called the Joe Andruzzi Foundation, and he's doing fine now, 7 years cancer-free.
That's
and
great.
They raise money for families that get behind on their everyday bills when they're trying to finance cancer care.
Gotcha. So you're raising money for that charity as well as others on this ride.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
How long is the ride ultimately when you get the whole thing done?
It's going to be over 14,000 miles.
Whoa.
So this is going to the four corners of the United States. So I'm not only going across the United States, I'm going around it. So it is over half the distance around the Earth. The Earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, and this is 14,000 miles.
All right, so let's see. So from Massachusetts, what do you do? Go down to Florida and then across on the 10 out to, where are you now, in California?
Yes, I'm in Placentia.
All right, fine.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, we say Placentia, but
Placentia? Okay.
It just sounds like something wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
They need to change the name. So what happened to inspire you to do this?
Well, in 2013, we had a charity event in Boston. We had a team of runners running in the Boston Marathon, 20 runners, and they raised money for the Joe Andruzzi Foundation. And it just so happened that our charity event was on the front patio of the Forum Restaurant. And that is the location where the second marathon bomb went off, right in front of us. And two people died right in front of us that day, and in probably 8 or 9 people lost limbs, and it was a mess. Anyway, the aftermath of that came trying to heal, and figure out, you know, what happened that day and what can we do to give back, because we were very, very lucky in that most of the people that were there with the Joe Andruzzi Foundation were, you know, had very, very minor injuries compared to what else happened around us. And we were in the middle of it, and we tried to help people that day, and we did what we could. But since that day, you know, I've just been thinking about what can I do to give back to the Joe Andruzzi Foundation, number one, and also to America for helping Boston out that day. Because America responded with the one fund and donating millions of dollars to help all the people that were hurt that day. And they did a tremendous job, and I just felt there was something I could do to give back to America, and that was ride around the United States and find five great foundations that are around the United States.
Is the one fund on your list of charities?
No. No. The one fund is, I think they dissolved it because they gave all the money away.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the other four?
We have Base Camp Children's Cancer Foundation that's in Winter Park, Florida, that's next to Orlando, and they help families with kids with cancer. I was down there, and we had a charity ride and visited three of the children's cancer hospitals, and it was a great day. Then we have the Green Beret Foundation, which is located in San Antonio, Texas, and again, we had a nice charity ride with them on the 4th of July. And the next foundation is up in Seattle, Washington, and that is, remember Gilda Radner?
Sure.
Okay. Well,
Saturday
Gilda's
Night Live.
Clubs, that's it. Well, there's 25 Gilda's clubs around the United States, and it's a brick-and-mortar organization. They have a place for people to go, families that are dealing with cancer, living with cancer, are really having some problems in living with it. And Gilda's clubs make sure that they don't feel alone, and they help with tremendous amounts of support, psychosocial services, and events, and also just a place for people to go to talk to other people or that are in the same circumstances, or just to, you know, get things off their chest and be with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great cause up in Seattle, and they have lots of satellite places around the Washington State. And then the last one is a really interesting one. It's the American Indian Cancer Foundation, and they're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but they're trying to raise awareness and education with Native Americans about cancer across the country, and also are working within their own culture to raise awareness about, you know, cancer prevention, colorectal screening, the importance of mammograms and all that stuff throughout the Indian nations across the country.
And you're raising money for all five of these foundations?
Simultaneously, yes.
How about
I am.
That? I'm guessing then you're stopping at the headquarters or the thrust location for each of these charities. And so
yes.
Ultimately, where does your ride head for the culmination of all of this?
Well, I'm heading to Sturgis, the 75th rally. Rod Woodruff was kind enough to donate an event tent. He's the owner of the legendary Buffalo Chip campground in Sturgis. And so we have the Crossroads event tent, and I'm trying to sell tickets. They're $150 a piece, but they do include a Def Leppard concert.
Ooh.
And lots of other fun things. And there will be a significant portion that will be tax deductible. The Green Beret Foundation will be acting as the fiscal sponsor for that, and they'll send out tax deductible letters to whomever purchases a $150 ticket for that event.
Let me ask you something. If you buy the ticket, at this juncture, is it next to impossible to get a bed to sleep in Sturgis, and do you have to stay in Hewlett, Wyoming?
Hewlett is a little bit, well, I mean, you could probably stay in Hewlett. But yeah,
that's where I would stay.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things go on in Hewlett, too. But there's places to stay in Sturgis still. There's campsites available. And on the Sturgis website, there is a link to rental properties that, you know, that are still available.
That's the way to do it. And you've got a website as well where people can get these tickets that you describe, right?
I do. It's theoneride.net, www.theoneride.net. It's all one word. And there's a link to the Buffalo Chip ticket office right in our website. Just go to the Buffalo Chip tab, and you'll see the link to that. And it's all electronic. I don't touch anything. The Buffalo Chip's handling it all.
Gotcha. And we'll put your website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Chuck Fury, you're doing great work there. Good luck on the rest of your trip, and have fun in Sturgis.
Hey, thank you very much. And have everybody check out our website. It has the whole story on there with videos. And absolutely, we need to sell tickets, and it's going to help these five great charities continue their great work.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, thank you.
And look to the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com for oneride.net. You'll see it there.
An amazing guy. I'm going to donate a lot because and he's doing great work. But I'll tell you what, if he's going all the way around the country on a Harley, there's no way a Harley's going to make it. You know how you tell a Harley rider?
How?
He's the one pushing his bike.
Good thing I sold my stock. Wow. Hey, you know what? More good stuff. It seems like we've been running the gamut of good and bad in America on today's program. A restaurant in Baltimore called Tabrisi's will be closed to the public next week because the owner is only serving homeless people. He's making chicken cordon bleu in a sage cream sauce, and he expects to serve about 1,000 people over the course of 6 days. And he says he doesn't care how much it'll cost him because helping the city heal from this is Baltimore again, helping the city heal from the riots back in April is more important to him.
Wow, that makes me happy.
So whenever you're in Baltimore, stop by, just not next week, stop by Tabrisi's and order some food.
Sounds fabulous.
Hey, could Uber be going bye-bye in California? And could other states follow suit? Our tech dude joins us live with that and a whole lot more next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Here we go. It's time to talk tech, and there's a lot happening today. Joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, friends. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Even better now that you're here. So Uber screwed up and learned the hard way just how hard it is to do business in California, right?
They sure have. The California Public Utilities Commission has ruled that Uber is not complying with state law. Apparently, there's requirements that transportation companies have to follow regarding reporting on ride requests for people with service animals and wheelchairs. And so they've got to send in metadata, such as the date and time, the zip code, and the fare paid. Apparently, they haven't been complying with that. The Chief Administrative Law Judge Karen Clopton has said in her decision that Uber should be fined $7.3 million and suspended from operating in California.
Now, suspended. What does that mean? For a couple of weeks or just terminally?
It doesn't go into full detail, but they do have 30 days to appeal, which of course they will. And so that'll put a hold on the suspension and the fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they'll work out a deal.
It'd be much easier for Uber to report all of that data than it would for a taxi cab company. Right?
Oh, absolutely. I would think so. I mean, they've got all of that in their systems, and they could just very much overwhelm the Public Utilities Commission.
Sure, you want data? Here, well, take this.
Right, exactly. Because I think another thing, if I believe I read this, that you're also required in California as a transportation provider, a rideshare company, to provide the zip codes of your fares or the people that you pick up. So, I think the logic there is that the state wants to understand that you are or you are not avoiding underserved areas.
Which is kind of interesting because if you've talked to any of the Uber drivers, you know that they've got this Uber driver app, which highlights areas where they should be focusing on because those are the areas that the fares are in. So that kind of goes contrary to that requirement.
And sure, Uber
focusing on those areas
moment by moment can tell you where you are. I mean, by GPS down to
absolutely.
Down to the inch. I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously.
Yeah, but if you're on the wrong side of the tracks in a bad part of town, where you typically, if you had your wits about you, may not drive into. And there are some parts of the in California, there are a handful of parts of town like that where you just would rather stay away because you want to avoid any potential harm. So if that zip code doesn't show up on your thing, does California care?
It's a good question. And California is not the only place where Uber is facing challenges. There's lots of different geographies around the world that are upset when Uber comes in. Obviously, the taxi drivers and the coalitions that are running those are obviously fighting it. Mm-hmm. They're actually facing a challenge in New York as well. The mayor, Bill de Blasio, has put forth a bill to cap the number of Uber drivers. And Uber has responded in the way that only they can by introducing a new de Blasio mode code in the app. So if you're in New York, you can select the de Blasio Uber, and then it just pops up a huge message that says no cars are available, and you know, obviously complains about the potential.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's good. All right. So more and more people are being able to use the internet while they're flying on an airplane. And so this also opens up the opportunity for hackers to get into the controls of the plane and to do all sorts of things, steal data, whatever it is. Hackers love hacking into stuff. But all of a sudden, there's an airline that loves hackers. Can you explain this?
Yeah, this is kind of cool. So bug bounties are pretty common in technology companies, and that's where a company will pay oftentimes a significant sum of cash to a white hat hacker who, you know, discovers a flaw, discovers a vulnerability, and then notifies the company before they make it public so that they can fix it and solve the problem. Well, United launched a program earlier this year that offers miles. So you can actually get United Airlines miles that you can redeem for flights if you discover a flaw in any of their systems and let them know about it. Two hackers have claimed the largest prize, which is 1 million miles each. And that's enough miles to take, you know, several first-class tickets to Asia or about 20 domestic round-trip flights. So pretty cool to see them you know, trying to solve problems proactively and coming up with creative ways to do it.
Yep. But if you're the hacker and you discover what the problem is, would you maybe possibly be terrified to fly on that airline, depending on
you know,
what the
problem
is? That's
not a bad point. And actually, several of the technology companies out there do put together some guidelines you know, regarding these types of things. They say that they won't prosecute you if you're reporting the, you know, the violation, if you have to, you know, to take some questionable actions and, right, and so forth. So there are some guidelines and some sort of ways that the company may not you know, come after you if you do have to, you know, kind of cross the line to come across the problem.
Right. All right, Jeremy. Yesterday was Amazon's first Prime Day, which they pitched as a day with so many sales it would be bigger than Black Friday. And the verdict is,
what a load of crap! I mean, there was a lot of hype around this thing that it was going to be bigger than Black Friday, and it was going to be, you know, these huge sales. But the internet was not exactly pleased with the wares that they were hawking. It appeared
See,
to
Christmas
be...
in July has never been a good sales promotion.
Bad idea. Yeah. Just bad idea. I mean, it appeared to be just a huge garage sale where they unloaded the crap that they didn't want, and they actually have no shame about it. They announced some highlights of Prime Day. They sold 28,000 Rubbermaid 42-piece food storage sets.
I missed. Oh, damn it!
Come on,
I missed that.
Where were you, buddy?
Totally.
24,000 hot pots.
Yeah.
10,000 sets of microfiber towels. So, I mean, this is good stuff. You missed out.
I got one here. I don't know if you saw this. They sold a 9-pack of gel replacements for something called a Slender Tone Abdominal Belt for $16.
Sexy.
How many did you order?
No.
There was a deal. Wasn't there a screw-up where a bunch of Android phones went for a penny, though?
Oh, I didn't see that. But
there was a screw-up, yeah.
When they ran out of certain items, they introduced waiting lists. Yeah. So there was even a waiting list for saving 36% on a 16-bar pack of soap.
Oh.
I mean, we're talking good stuff here.
Now, free shipping.
Jeremy, on the bright side, they were selling a 55-gallon drum of lube for $1,361. That's a 46% discount off the list price of $5,000. Less than if you bought that much lube in individual bottles. So,
you know, that is true, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I did look at that listing, and then I saw, you know, the other products that people bought that had purchased that item, and I found myself in a rabbit hole that I don't think I'm ever going to get out of, because now when I visit Amazon.com, the front page of recommended products is just obscene.
Yes, of course it is.
Don't go look at the lube.
No, don't do it, especially not a 55-gallon drum of lube.
But it came with a lube pump, though. I mean, you got to get it out of the drum.
Look, when a girl comes over and you've got a 55-gallon drum of lube, you know it's going down.
No splitting hairs, huh?
Someone's going down.
Yeah. Right. Jeremy, always a pleasure to speak with you, and every day's a shopping day with Jeremy. Thank you very much.
Sure is. Okay. Talk to you guys soon.
All righty. Bye-bye. So, yeah, can you imagine you somebody's got that in their bedroom?
Where do you keep it? And it's not going to be subtle,
well,
you know?
You can have it in your trailer.
That's outstanding. It's amazing what you can buy on Amazon if you do want to go down that rabbit hole that Jeremy was speaking of.
Oh, yeah. But then it starts showing up. I mean, the predictive advertising and marketing that you get on your browser page when you show up is based on what you looked at previously.
I've long since given up on trying to keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So many things ahead, including the extreme that some people go to make sure that nobody ever takes a photograph or a video of them. And seaweed that tastes like, well, never mind, we'll find out what it tastes like. Coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, here we go. It's our final segment in this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. More or less, we've been talking about the good and bad in America.
And here's this is interesting, Phil, because I was getting all excited about America being more accepting, and apparently Caitlyn Jenner's Instagram has basically been shut down for a time because of all the hate.
Oh, really?
That came off of the ESPY Awards last night. Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah, so. Well, good times, USA.
That's where all the trolls are. now, here's a palate cleanser.
Okay.
maybe not.
Okay.
There may be nothing left to invent. There's only one. This is the only explanation I can think of for this, that somebody thought of this. Someone just created a cat accessory called Twinkle Tush. It's a jewel that covers your cat's rectum. It's perfect for anyone who hates staring right into their cat's nasty place when it walks around with its tail up.
Right, you don't do that on purpose. And I think cats, they do that. That's like their thing. It's like, hey, check me out.
Yeah.
Look at this. I'm a cat. I'm a cat. So, I'm on the counter. Look.
Yeah, right. Look. So you just buy the Twinkle Tush, and you can see the little blue sparkle instead. The jewel has a cord attached that you slip around the cat's tail. So the jewel dangles down when the cat actually needs to poop. The jewel will naturally hang just out of the way. And it's on sale right now at twinkletush.com for only $6.
Okay. American invention? American invention, right?
Yeah, of course.
We don't have any extra time. Cancer's cured, right? Cured cancer?
Nope, not yet.
Cancer cured?
No.
Well, but we have Twinkle Tush.
Can't grow hair yet. Nope. Mm-mm.
All right. I believe Twinkle Tush is playing tonight.
So. at the whiskey.
Not at the whiskey.
No?
No, probably at another bar.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, musically speaking, you might know the name Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, Phil, can you help me out and let the people know who don't know? I mean, Phil and I used to work on a radio station that played really quiet, soft music.
Yeah.
Like Danzig.
Yeah. And Slayer and Metallica. Slayer,
other and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
but
right.
Danzig, famous biggest hit was probably what? Mother, right?
Mother, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Before that, he was in the Misfits, which was the last time he was cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone on to earn a reputation. Glenn Danzig,
who
he named the band Danzig.
After,
Yeah, he went on. He's had a long career of being a douchebag, at least in my experience, every time I've talked to him. Have you talked to him ever?
I've never had the I don't believe. It's possible I've interviewed him once, but I don't recall.
He's really unpleasant. I got to speak to him at the Long Beach Grand Prix once when we were doing a broadcast from there, and he was a hole of it was like a cat ass. it was very unpleasant. And Danzig, the band, who's currently on tour, I guess, I don't know why, was doing a show in Pomona last weekend, and they have a strict no photo policy.
Yeah.
And this may be because Glenn Danzig is famous for an internet video in which he gets his ass beat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I remember that. He got knocked out pretty good because he's a, he's yoked, too. He works out a bit, and so he's got some pretty... He's got thick.
He's got guns. Know. He's got the guns, right?
Yeah.
And he comes across as a tough guy, so I think since that video, he's very sensitive about having his picture taken and has a strict no photos policy at his concert. So this guy shows up at the concert and starts taking pictures like crazy.
Yeah.
just to annoy Glenn Danzig, which I support 1,000%.
All right.
If you have an opportunity in your life walking around to annoy Glenn Danzig, please. Do so immediately because it's amazing.
Yeah, all right.
So Glenn got upset, got the guy's phone and smashed it or whatever. And so later, after the show, he goes to the tour bus and tries to get on the tour bus with a camera.
Great.
To take some more pictures. Glenn, of course, flips out gets him in a headlock or something. Turns out it's this guy that's been doing this kind of stuff for a while now in L.A. It's the same guy that sugar bombed Adam Levine a while ago.
Oh, he's the guy that that tried to kiss Will Smith and a couple of other weird.
Is it the same
friends?
Guy, Naveed Farsi?
That's him, yeah.
That's him. Okay, all right. So that's like his bit. So props to that dude for anything. If you can find a way to annoy Glenn Danzig, I don't know, if you're a telemarketer, call him now. Just ask if his refrigerator is running or something. I don't know.
All right, fine.
I support this.
Some folks have been wondering, we've gotten a couple of emails, where in the world is Chris Martin?
Oh, the dude that said I live my life like a college student and was actually 100% accurate. But anyway, guy.
The dude on our show.
Right.
Chris Martin, who I affectionately call Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Now, there's no official word yet, but...
is he pregnant? Does he have to have time off? Is that what it is?
OK Magazine says that Chris Martin and Jennifer Lawrence are, quote, engaged and ready to have a baby. Sources say they got engaged back in the end of May and that it was a little out of the blue, but she, quote, couldn't say yes fast enough.
Phil?
What?
You might maybe have the wrong Chris Martin.
Well, I mean, Chris's ex, Gwyneth Paltrow, wants to help with the wedding, apparently, if you can believe that.
Different Chris Martin? Okay.
It's not a different... What?
I think it may be... you may have your Chris Martins confused.
This is Chris Martin as opposed to Chris Martin?
Martin? Yeah. I think you might have them mixed up, maybe.
Oh. All right. Well...
Well, good for them.
If that helps a little bit.
Because, you know, if there's anything I can support, it's weddings.
Do you eat seaweed? Do you have a little Spam musubi or do you, you know...
Seaweed?
Like, yeah, they wrap the sushi with seaweed. Right?
Only at the sushi place. I don't generally like when I'm at the beach and one of those things wraps around your ankle and you're like, oh my God, get it off!
Yes!
Get it off! Oh, gross!
But if you were going to take a chomp out of it, it might leave you alone.
Maybe it would, yeah, but I don't have a great compulsion to take a... Even the ones with they got little pockets on them, the little bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't look very delicious to me, but they have... Thanks to Oregon State University. What's their fight song? Anybody know? Whatever. But they've developed a quick-growing seaweed. It was originally designed, they wanted to make food for abalone, because abalone are having a tough go of it in this century.
Yes.
But it turns out they've made this seaweed that grows fast and is delicious because it tastes exactly like bacon.
Ah, bologna.
It's bacon seaweed, people.
Now, the abalone likes the bacon flavor, or is it made for us now?
The
byproduct of their science is they found the bacon flavor, and now, whoopee, we get bacon-flavored seaweed.
I think they accidentally found out that it tastes like, I don't know, they were working in the lab late one night and found that, apparently it tastes like bacon. And so now they've already tested out like a cracker and salad dressing.
Yeah,
and recipe testing, and so far so good.
I don't know, fried abalone with bacon flavored seaweed chips on top sounds like a great idea.
Wait, you're not supposed to eat the abalones, right?
You're not?
I think they're kind of in trouble.
Are they endangered?
I thought they were endangered. Yeah, you can't even look at them, what I understand. Like when you go to Catalina, you can't mess with them.
Yeah, but that mother of pearl, you know what that is? That's the inside of the abalone shell. They still sell that at all the craft shows.
I don't know if they're supposed to.
No? Is it fake mother of pearl?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that things that taste like bacon are amazing, and we should have more of them.
Yeah. All right.
More things that taste like bacon.
Yeah.
America, get on it.
Yeah.
Chop.
All right, good. Hey, you want to know what the trendiest names are these days for babies?
Oh, I love this game.
Do you?
Yeah, because every year it gets dumber and dumber.
Yeah, there's a website, nameberry.com.
All right.
And they've got the trendiest name for...
Because remember back in the day, if you had to pick out a name...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to go buy books of baby names.
Yeah.
And you'd flip through it, and you'd do that hours and hours and hours. And
you do that? I did that.
I did that.
For days, weeks.
Endless arguments over, you want to name our child. She was going to be born near Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she, well, let's call our child Holly Noel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me punch you.
Yeah, right. See?
You can't be serious.
For me, it has to be musical. It has to make there has to be a rhythm to the name, and the words, the first name, middle name, and last name, they have to work together because, you know, the beat has to work.
Sure, but we're doing guys' names?
Well, in this case, it's the most trendy guy's name, and I'll tell you, it's based on an old movie that finally, earlier this year, they announced that they're putting together a sequel for this old movie. Now, there's your hint. As to what the name is.
Well, the new Ghostbusters is all chicks, so that's not it.
That's not it, and it's not the...
We're so far beyond Steve and Robert and...
And it's not man. It's not the Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's a movie.
It's a movie, yeah. A remake. Ant-Man.
No.
It's trendy. I'm going to be this. What is it?
All right, we'll flip all the cards. The name is Atticus.
Atticus?
Based on Atticus Finch, the hero in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, no.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Right. Would you name your child Atticus?
At this day and age, perhaps. Yeah, fine.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I guess it's, you know.
So here are the 10 trendiest names for boys. Asher. Asher.
Are you 10? 10 is Asher?
No, 10 is? No particular order.
Oh, okay.
Right. Asher, Ezra, Silas.
Ooh, big week for the Bible here.
Declan.
The Bible's going to come back. Yep.
Declan, okay. Wyatt, Oliver, Henry, Milo, and Jude. I'm waiting for Zebediah to make a comeback.
I think so.
10 trendiest girl names. Charlotte, Amelia, Olivia. I have a daughter, Olivia. Isla, or is that Isla? Mm-hmm. Ava, Violet, Cora, Eleanor, Lucy, and Penelope. I'm sorry, that's Penelope.
Penelope.
But you know the kind
I'm
of kid
glad
I was.
Penelope's making a comeback. Penelope and Elvira, I believe.
Yeah, right. Well, see, that's old literature as well. I mean, the Odyssey and the the Idiocy or whatever.
Those aren't as awful as I thought. I think we've moved beyond the horrible 90s.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, it's coming back.
Yeah, it like everything, it cycles around, and we'll have more.
Yeah,
Chads and
Gregs and Phils.
Oh yeah, let's get back to those.
Yeah, normal names. What is normal after all? Certainly not this program, but this is the end of it, and we love your comments. So click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. Fill out the form. We're on Twitter at FAFShow. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Like us. Hey, if you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail. Click the blue tab at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top
down the shot and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.